Hello, and welcome to Small Business Happy Hour, a podcast where we interview a different entrepreneur or small business owner every week to hear their story.
We chat about their business, passions, struggles, and all things small business. Oh, and we drink with our guests during the interview, hence the happy hour.
I'm your host, Derek, founder of Yoga for All Humans, a fully online yoga studio.
And I'm your host, Holly, creator of the blog The Bitter Lemon and author of many books. We are so happy you're here.
Hi, Holly.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I had a migraine yesterday, so still feeling a little foggy, but actually got to move around today and obviously work, but got on the treadmill to kind of, you know, work out that energy or whatever. So I'm good.
Yeah, that's good. But you're feeling better, not that you had a migraine.
Yeah, I made like a post about it that it's been like probably over a month since I've had a migraine, because sometimes they come in waves, but they're usually stress induced, you know? And I made a post about it saying like, I have a love hate relationship with my migraines. And I was like, I know that sounds weird, but like, I view it as like my body telling me to slow the fuck down. You know, it's like, because I've just been like basically nonstop since I got back from the TV show, just because, you know, I was really motivated to get shit done, but then I wasn't really having much downtime. So I really, my body is just like, actually, we're going to make it to where you can't do anything for a day, you know? And I'm like, okay, I'll just sit, lay on the couch with my sunglasses on and watch Riverdale. So that's what I did.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I am like, I'm glad I asked my friend, speaking of Riverdale, I thought there were 8 seasons, there's 7, so I'm on the last season.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so I would have finished the season thinking there was going to be another one.
I went to, over the weekend, I went to the Lysistrata Comedy Festival. One of our previous guests, Georgia, was in town to perform at it, and it's one of those things where, like, I don't know if this has happened to you, but there's been a few times where maybe I've had like something on my calendar where I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to that. And then when it comes down to it, you're like, I don't know if I really want to go, or like, it's, you know, downtown or whatever. And that's kind of when this was, because this show that I could go to see Georgia was at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night downtown.
Damn.
Yeah, I was like, but I wanted to see her and wanted to support. And this is not like, I'm saying this to prove a different point. This is not to reflect any of the comedians that were there. But when I went, I think I was one of 5 people that had bought a ticket. So, 'cause she had like the list at the door, and there was like 2 people sitting in there when I went in there, and I was like, wow, this is like, there's been other times when I've thought, you know, maybe I don't want to go to this thing. And it's been like a small business or an entrepreneur. And it's like, I've literally had to tell myself, like, if I don't go, like, that's another person that won't go, you know?
Yeah, I do know.
And that's how I felt when I walked into that. I mean, it was a comedy club, and there were more people did show up. Like, once it was actually, I mean, I got there at like 10 minutes till 10. So not that early. Once the show started, there were more people there, but it was by no means packed. And like, there wasn't a lot of people there, but it's like, these comics have to get up there and perform to a lot of empty seats.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes you like, I don't think they can really see like how many people are in the audience, because the lights are so bright. But obviously, like, they know if it's a packed house or not, you know. And I just like admire like anyone that can get up there and do that. And I mean, period, but also in front of very few people. And I mean, the people that were there like laughed at everything, and the comics were so funny. I think it's an all-female comedy fest that Austin puts on every year, and I want to say it was like 7 or 8 comedians. They were all so funny. They each just did short sets, but such a range of experience. Like, so there was one comic there who'd been doing stand-up for 9 years. A few of them have like specials on Netflix right now. Like, and it's just like, wow, it doesn't really matter like where you're at in your game. Like, you still are sometimes going to have to show up and perform for like maybe 10 people. Like,
damn, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's what I think sometimes in my yoga classes, there's like one person there, you know?
Yeah. And it's just like one of those things. Like, it's just a reminder of so many different things. And I had a drink with Georgia and some of them after, and they were talking about like the difference between going to different cities and like the vibe of different festivals and like, are they accepting of female comics, or how are the audiences, what are the audiences like? And it was just really interesting, like hearing their perspective. Like, so it was cool to go and support, and just a good reminder to, you know, if you're thinking about supporting, you know, obviously a lot of small businesses, you can just buy something from them or whatever, but like showing up to an event is really important too. So it was a good reminder. It was fun, but yeah, also just like, wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you went. I was like, I thought about looking it up and figuring out, because I knew she was in town, and now I kind of feel bad I didn't, but oh well.
Yeah, she I'll make sure I wanted to mention that she was a guest on season 2, the premiere episode.
Yeah.
So if you want to listen to that one, it's a good one. She's really funny, and her set was definitely different than when we saw her.
Oh, cool.
A year ago.
Mm-hmm. Georgia from Florida.
Georgia from Florida, yeah. And she is back living in Florida, it sounds like.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she did move around, didn't she?
Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad you got to see her. I'm kind of jealous. The eclipse was this week.
Yeah, the eclipse.
That was fun. Although, like, I don't know if how the cloud cover was where you were, but, like, as soon as it was, like, the time,
mm-hmm.
Clouds covered. I couldn't see anything.
Oh yeah, it wasn't bad here, but I thought the whole thing, I'm here for collective. Like, that's why I like concerts so much, is because it brings people together, and like, it just reminds me that like, not everybody's horrible. So
yeah.
I'm here for collective events that have really I mean, if you wanted to, you can make the eclipse political, but truthfully, like, it's just pretty innocent, harmless, so I'm here for it.
Yeah, that was neat. I'm just seeing everyone engaged, you know. It was, yeah, just yeah. Like a, obviously a, I guess not a national thing, because it depended on where you were, but people were really into it, you know.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I work remote, and people at my company where I work, it's like everywhere, they work everywhere. But I think everyone on my team was in the path of totality. So It was so funny, because like, it came into like Austin first, and I'm the only one on the team from Austin, but everyone else, like 2 hours later, then they were putting like messages on Teams being like, we just saw it. And that was just so sort of funny that it was like slowly everybody was seeing it.
Yeah. That's kind of how it was in my friend group too. Because, like, obviously, I was here in Austin. One of my friends lives in Little Rock, and that was in the path. And then another friend lives in Syracuse, and that was in the path, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing in our group text.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was neat. Yay, science.
I know. Pretty cool.
So yeah, our guest this week is Maria Chapman of Connected Ghostwriting. I met her at the Blocks. You know, a lot of the guests that we're going to have coming up are going to be from the Blocks, just because they were real eager to hop on the calendar, just filled up really fast, which, you know, we're here for. And Maria's story is very interesting. I won't give too much of it away, but it was one of those situations. And there were multiple people like this at the show, where they were kind of forced into entrepreneurship because of something that happened in their life, you know, where they couldn't work a normal job. So they had to find a way to be successful on their own. So I think that that's always very inspiring. essentially what Maria's company does is they do ghostwriting, which, you know, is books. You can hire them to write a book for you, right? But they also do a lot of content writing for websites and things like that. So it's kind of like a marketing agency as well, in a sense. But she's doing great work. You know, she's had a really good, I guess, network of referrals and getting ready to step up her game.
Yeah. It sounds like she's found a lot of success quickly. So it will be interesting to see what the future of her business is.
Yeah. I'm excited. It'll be fun to follow along. Well, y'all enjoy. It's a good one.
Okay. How is this? I have my Britney Spears microphone connected.
Good.
You sound very Britney.
Yeah. Thank you.
Are you going to twerk for us?
I think you'd be disappointed. I've never been the dancing gay. For a long time, I was known as like the bad gay because I couldn't dance. I am not good at interior design. I'm not good at telling you what to wear. But as we grew older, I'm the gay that you want to drink wine and talk shit with. So that's actually better than everything else, I think.
I'd rather drink wine and talk shit than have someone dress me.
Yeah, for sure. So I win in the long run. Yeah. Okay. Well, the most important question of the evening.
Yes.
What are you drinking? If you're partaking in happy hour.
I am drinking Whispering Angels Rosé.
Ooh.
My favorite.
Whispering Angels Rosé. Holly, have you had that one? Holly's a rosé girl.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. I'll have to check it out.
I haven't heard any angels whispering to me while I'm drinking it, but I'm open.
You're open. That's amazing. Holly, what are you having?
I'm having a prickly pear margarita.
Is it alcohol free?
Yeah, there's no alcohol in it.
Okay. So Holly is sober. What do you say? Thursday? No, Sunday through Thursday?
Yeah.
So weeknights, or school nights, work nights, whatever you want to call it. But Holly used to be a bartender, so she gets creative with it.
That's not true. I shouldn't say I don't have that ability. I've done mocktails before, and they turn out pretty okay. Like, I had a vision board party once with a bunch of women starting businesses that I know around here. And one of the women was sober. So we made it an alcohol-free event, and I just made a bunch of different mocktails, but I went and bought all the edible flowers and everything. Like, I had some fun. It was a good time.
Yeah. I'm still navigating, but I use just like the zero proof spirits. So it's literally just like the same thing. So I have
those in the house.
Yeah.
As expected, I do have my wine. I'm a red wino, so Pinot Noir.
I'm normally red. I was in a rosé mood today.
Yeah.
So, Pinot Noir?
Yes.
Is that your go-to?
It is, yeah.
Pinot Noir. Mimosas at the airport?
Correct, yes. Well, so during the daytime, I do mimosas, right? And then, basically from like 3 p.m. on, that's wine time. But before that, I feel weird drinking like red wine during the day. I would drink like a rosé or something during the middle of the day, you know. But I mean, I'll drink red wine anytime, really. But yes, I do enjoy my mimosas at the airport. That's kind of a tradition for me. But Holly, are you ready for a shock?
Yeah, what's the shock?
I also have a mocktail.
What is it?
Twisting?
I am double fisting, yes. So I got like these little margarita things.
I like those.
Those have like adaptogens in them. They do.
Yeah, you know what, though? They make like little packets that you're supposed to mix with water.
Mm-hmm.
Those don't do it for me. The canned ones I like, but the packets that you mix with water, I don't know if I just, maybe I don't have enough patience to mix them properly. That could be true.
Or it may just like take the magic out of it. You're like, I see how this works. Like, I had to make it myself, you know, like, you know.
Yeah, that's like a salad. When someone else makes you a salad, it's always better when you make yourself a salad.
Yeah, Yeah, so this is my way to balance myself out, is I'm double fisting some non-alcohol, some alcohol. Well, we're here to talk about you, Maria. I'm very happy to have you. Holly is a fellow writer, so Holly is probably going to enjoy this conversation. Yeah. Holly actually has a how many published books do you have, Holly?
Seven.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, so y'all can be book buddies.
What genre do you write in?
All of them. I have all poetry, fiction, nonfiction. I think I've probably ghostwritten like additional probably six or so books. And those are more like business-based books. On like one was like a pretty heavy research one about marketing to millennials. One, I have another one that was like starting a barbershop. Like I've been doing it for 20 years. So
that's a lot of time to add things up.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I write, can whip them out pretty quick. So
I can whip out a ghostwritten book much faster than my own.
Yeah.
With my own, I get stuck in like the perfectionist spiral, whereas writing is like, it's someone else's ideas. So I already have all the information downloaded in my brain. And I know it's going to the client, then to me for a round of editing. And then I know it's going to my editor. And then I know it's going to the proofreader and the formatter. So I know that there are people behind me that are going to make it perfect. So I don't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, connected ghostwriting is you. I would love to hear, because you have a story.
I do.
I would love to hear about kind of what your journey was like to starting connected ghostwriting. And mixed into that, if like you ever thought you would be an entrepreneur.
Oh, gosh. No. Before times, I was a teacher, a literacy specialist, and I had an administrative degree. So I was doing that track. Funnily, the interesting thing that is, though, when I started college, I initially majored in journalism and social work. I had a double major. And I listened to people telling me that I wouldn't make a living as a writer and, you know, all those things people say. And they mean well, but and they're trying to be helpful, but they're not. And so I wound up in education after changing my major 8 times because ADHD. I mean, I wound up in education, and I always am afraid I'm going to sound like an asshole when I say this.
You're in good cut. We don't judge.
Right. So, but that's fine. I never loved teaching. And that's not to say I didn't love working with the kids. I did. And I do love teaching people things, right? I love sharing my knowledge. I love coaching people through problems that they're having. And I love all of those pieces of it. But the structured environment and bureaucracy of education never really fit. Mm-hmm. And I ruffled a lot of feathers and I pushed back on things like taking work home and working outside of contract hours and all these other things that teachers are just sort of expected to do. So that never really fit, but I stuck with it because I was a good Midwestern girl. And when you start something, you finish it. So I had no plans to leave education, even though I wasn't loving it. And then I got sick. So it was about a year of a downward spiral, maybe about a year and a half. And we didn't really know what was going on. I suspected it was Lyme disease. Turns out I was right, but I couldn't find anyone to test me. So I had Lyme disease and then I contracted Epstein-Barr and then I got a flu shot. And then my body went into all systems overload, viral mayhem. I wound up developing chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy, CIDP, and myasthenia gravis. They're two different neuromuscular conditions that behave differently. But the end result is that I was paralyzed in November of 2019. it was loss of use of my legs, my arms, but also my jaw, my ability to swallow, talk, that all went. And I was in the hospital, and the first thing that started working was my hands, and I happened to have my computer with me. So I started writing. And until that point, I had not written a word in 9 years.
Damn.
And there was some stuff that happened in a previous marriage that caused me to allow myself to stop writing. I'm not going to say it was his fault because I made that choice. And I'm not going to get into the reasons, but I hadn't written in 9 years. And I started writing, and I published my first articles online on Medium from my hospital bed. And I started making a little bit of money, and then I made a lot of money on Medium, and then I made a lot of money, especially considering the way they pay is like a pay-per-click thing. And I was like, oh, I forgot I was good at this. Right. And so I started doing some more freelance writing for different websites. Some of it was ghostwritten. Some of it has my byline. So if you Google me, there's some old parenting articles on Baby Gaga that I wrote once upon a time. They pay garbage. Don't write for them. So I did that for a while. And then I had a couple of private clients, and one of my private clients said, hey, I want to write a book, and you've been writing my content for me for a while. Do you think that you could write it since you already know me? And I was like, I think I could do that. So I wrote her book, helped her publish it, and just completely fell in love with the process. So at this time, I was only able to work about 15 hours a week in between medical appointments, and my husband and I have 5 kids between the two of us. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on all the time. And so I had about 15 hours a week that I could physically manage working. And ghostwriting was one of those things I could titrate up or down depending on how I was doing. I could take on more work at times that I was feeling good and take on less at times that I wasn't. But what happened is all of my business to this point has been through word of mouth. Now I'm starting some marketing efforts now because when I was on the blocks with Derek, I got my keister kicked a little bit by some of the coaches and like, wait a minute, you have a team and you're not doing these things to expand. What is wrong with you? And I needed the kick in the pants, so it was fine. So I'm starting some marketing efforts now, but to date, my business has been 100% referral based, and I wound up with more work than I could handle. So I started hiring. And last year I focused on building an amazing team. And my principles there are transparency, and I pay people well. Mm-hmm. And when you pay people well, they like working for you. It's funny. It's amazing. It's the craziest thing ever, right? You know, we're mental health, wellness, and social justice focused. So our clients are entrepreneurs, thought leaders, therapists, business coaches, life coaches, nonprofit founders, sexual health experts. So anyway, so I have an awesome team of writers, editors. I have an assistant who's amazing, and I have an SEO specialist and social media manager now. So it's a pretty robust team, and they're all amazing humans. I'm excited to see what happens and where we go from here.
Yeah, I am too. That was kind of one of the things I was tackling whenever I first started the studio, was like one of the running themes of our podcast is that we're kind of anti-capitalist, and people were like, how can you be anti-capitalist and starting your own business that's for profit? I'm like, I pay people well. So like, you know, like there's a balance to it. Like if you treat people well, pay people well, do the right thing, like you can be a responsible business. It's whenever you start taking advantage of people, that's the dangers of capitalism, you know? And Holly has been a contract writer a lot, and we've talked about that extensively, just how like, not only are things not being paid well, but they just treat people like garbage. Like it's just insane the way that people treat like 1099 employees or regular employees as well. I've been in HR forever. I've seen a lot of shit, but it's insane. Whenever you're paying someone, you just, the way that people are treated. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, everybody who works for me is a contractor, except me. I do pay myself. I am a W-2 employee. So my assistant, I actually poached her from a VA agency.
Cool.
Because I found out that I was paying them $35 an hour and she was only making $16.
Right.
And I was like, "Are you, this is a woman who has 20 years of experience as an administrative assistant in corporate America.
Right.
And you're paying her $16 an hour.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's garbage. She can't pay her mortgage on that. But also the fact that I pay people well, what ends up happening is my employees are innovating for me. My assistant comes up with ideas all the time. What if we tried this? What if we did this way? Which is really, really important when you're running a business. Like I know a lot of entrepreneurs, and I did too, start out as solopreneurs. And we're used to wearing all the hats and doing all the things. But what happens if we're doing that and we're staying in our bubble all the time is we miss opportunities to innovate. Because we don't see them, because we have our lens on. And when you bring other people in, even if it's a friend to look at how you're doing business, another entrepreneur friend to look at how you're doing things and ask questions, you bring in a new perspective, right? And so I want my contractors, if they have an idea, I want them to bring it.
Right. I mean, it's funny that you said that you never planned on being an entrepreneur because you've learned a lot in a short amount of time and lots of respect for you. That's amazing.
Yeah. But I think because when you don't have a choice.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Like, it's an interesting teacher. So I actually, when the school district told me that they weren't going to accommodate my disability, when I was going through this, it was actually COVID as well. Yeah. And so all the schools were virtual. And I was like, I was a instructional coach at the time. So I taught teachers how to teach and coached them and helped them problem solve. And this kid's not learning how to read. Can you try and figure out what's going on? Like, you give me the most dyslexic ADHD kid in the world, I can teach them how to read. Like, I was like, I can do that virtually. I can't come into the office, but I can absolutely, like, my brain is functional.
Right.
And the district said no, because if they decided to go back in person, they wanted me to be willing to come in with 24 hours notice. So it was a big fight. And eventually I just decided it wasn't worth fighting anymore. So they medically retired me. But then I did look for other like regular jobs. Mm-hmm. And I would get through the interview process, like I remember one of them was with Scholastic as a curriculum developer. And that would have been completely in my wheelhouse, right? And I interviewed, they offered me the position. At that point, I brought up, I would need some accommodations. Nope, can't do it. And that kept happening. And all this time, I'm just doing freelance writing, mostly to keep my brain busy.
Yeah.
I wasn't making tons of money doing it, but I needed something. So I looked for a regular job for a while. And then at some point, I would just said, to hell with this.
Yeah, fuck it.
I'll just make a job I can do.
Good for you. Yeah. I mean, it sucks that it worked out that way, but I think you're doing a lot better now than you would have been then.
It's funny. I have one of my longest term clients is also someone I've been friends with for 12 years. And she and I were talking about the concept of like people saying, oh, it was a blessing in disguise. Then you getting sick. It's like, no, Karen, no.
Let's not call it a blessing in disguise.
It's not a blessing in disguise, and I won't get better if I do yoga. No offense. Mm-hmm. Yoga's great.
You're good. No, I know. It's not a healing mechanism. Yeah.
So she's someone who had some medical challenges too. And we were just laughing about that sentiment because when we change our lives out of necessity, people say things like, oh, you're inspiring. Mm-hmm. So on and so forth. It's like, well, no, if your back was against the wall, you'd make some shit happen too.
Right.
Most people would. Yeah. Most people don't just curl up on the couch and give up.
Right.
Some people do.
Yeah, that
kind of
sounds nice.
That sounds nice.
Very yeah. Give up and again, I wish.
I mean, yeah, I always say I quit things every day. Right? I mean, like Derek, you quit drinking mimosas at 3 p.m. every
day. That's right. That's right. Yes.
I quit drinking coffee around 2 p.m.
Yeah. Thank you for being so transparent with your story, because I think it's important for people to hear like how ableism is, even in like, were you in the public school system, I'm assuming? Yeah. So a lot of people think that, like, you know, states and stuff honor that kind of shit. I mean, I've been, like I said, I've been in HR for a long time, and they make it very easy for companies to say that reasonable accommodation is too expensive, right? Or
undue hardship is the phrase that everybody likes to write down.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, we could go on a tangent with that for a long time, but back to you. I'm kind of curious. So, you know, I guess like if you're thinking about like someone wants to write a book, like, is there like a stigma against people like doing like a ghostwriting book, right? Because, or is it like
So that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
And I would say that when an author publishes a book and has used a ghostwriter, the only way people will know is if they had a bad ghostwriter or the author themselves tells people.
Okay. That was what I was curious about, because I was like, does there have to be some kind of disclaimer that they didn't write it?
Yeah. So no. So I have I sign a non-disclosure with my clients. Some of them don't want to. Some of my clients want to talk about our relationship, because they are people who believe that the path to successful business ownership is about finding people to support you along the way. And when someone enters a ghostwriting relationship and has that understanding about entrepreneurship, they're more willing to disclose that they used me as a ghostwriter. Conveniently, I also offer book coaching. So I have clients that I've ghostwritten for who call me their book coach or their writing coach.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Right. Because everybody uses coaches. So I would say it really depends on the author and how they feel about it. Some authors don't want to share it. Some authors do. But your readers are not going to know unless you tell them.
Right.
I'm not going to put anything in the book with my name on it. You don't have to mention me in the acknowledgments. The legal page doesn't have to have anything about it being ghostwritten. And a lot of people, a lot of people have asked me, especially recently, if I am threatened by AI with with what I do. As of right now, AI generated content can't be copyrighted.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
The people that I write for are very interested in having their ideas copyrighted and trademarked and not stolen. Right? If you have a certain framework that you developed that you use to teach whatever goodness you're selling, you want to trademark that and copyright it and not have anybody steal it. And if you write your content with AI, you can't copyright it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't know that. Holly's like, of course. Yeah, I knew that.
Of course she does. She's up on this. So the short answer there is no. But going back to the stigma, one thing that I found is when I meet with my authors with publishers, publishers love when an author has used a ghostwriter.
Okay. That's not surprising. Yeah.
They love it. And especially like I have relationships with a couple traditional publishing houses. And so if I'm sending them a book, they know that I've already decided it fits under their umbrella, whatever it is that they publish. They know that it's going to be well written they know that there's not going to be a lot of work on the back end. But the other part of it, and this is sort of a unique value proposition that a good ghostwriting agency can offer, is that it's not just about the book. So if you're working with me to, so I do book coaching, co-writing, and full manuscript writing. And the co-writing is where the author will do their first draft, and then we polish it, fluff it, and get it over the finish line. During that process, starting around week 9 of that process, we start talking marketing. And so in addition to the book, we're crafting long-form content for your website, for LinkedIn, for we're crafting social media. We're directing you on videos that you can create that tie into the book content to promote it across all channels. And so we're really talking to you about marketing strategy so that by the time you get your book in front of a publisher, you already have that traction, right? And so selling a book to a publisher, especially a traditional publisher, is a lot like selling a business or asking someone to invest in a business.
Ooh, I bet so. Yeah, that sounds tough.
Right? You have to prove that you have some skin in the game. Like I've had authors say to me, well, I don't really want to do the social media thing. And I'm like, then you don't want to be an authorpreneur. You sure. don't. You want to write a book, but you do not want to make money from your book. And making money from your book could be selling thousands and millions of copies, but it could also be selling a coaching program to people who read your book, right? Okay. Or selling speaking engagements based on your book. There are a lot of ways to make money from a book other than just royalties. So when you're working with a ghostwriter or a book coach, by the time you get to the publishing process, they know that you've already got some wind under your sails from the marketing angle.
Right.
And that matters a lot.
Yeah, this is all new information to me. I think Holly's just, yep, I knew Holly's that. Like,
yeah, marketing.
Myself, like, continue.
And I mean, that's less important if you're going with self-publishing or hybrid publishing. But even then, if you're not marketing your, like, they're not going to mark, no one's going to market your book for you. If you're writing a book, you have to get out there and hustle and make it happen.
Yeah, I feel like that goes with, I mean, that's how it is these days, right? Like, awareness and presence has to go with everything, I think, unfortunately.
As evidenced by my lack of marketing.
For yourself or?
For myself, yes. Okay. I am not a lover of all things marketing.
Yeah. Right? I feel like you have a good social media game, though.
Oh, it's all new. That's all new. Okay. And it's also, it's Steven.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like, I didn't get good at social media. I got good at hiring Steven.
Got it. Okay. All right. Sneaky.
Yeah. Right? So, like, this week, so when I signed up for the blocks, it was sort of like my Steven was on me to create video content for social media. And I was like, but I don't want to. And he's like, but I need you to. And I'm like, but I'm not good on camera. And he's like, but you have to. And I'm like, but I don't want to. And we went back and forth like this for months. And then I saw the blocks thing and I was like, ha ha, watch me apply for this and not get in because I'm so bad on video. Derek, you know how that went. And so I was like, okay, this is the universe telling me something, right?
Yeah.
And I'm also very much like, if I'm uncomfortable with something, but I know I need to do it, then I'll just dive into the deep end. There's some jokes there, but I'm going to leave them on the table.
Oh my God.
So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to go film a reality show to get over my fear of being on camera. I'm just going to. Yeah. Cameras follow me around for 12 hours a day for 6 days. And actually it worked. So what I did is to trick myself is the week we came back, I had already put in my calendar. I blocked out time to do batch recording of some video content.
Yeah.
Right. And while we were at the blocks on that content day, I was in my content calendar spreadsheet writing down ideas for long form content, video content, all of that.
Yeah.
And so I decided that day that I was going to record an Ask a Ghostwriter series. And it's like all those questions that people ask me, well, how does it work? And who has rights to the book and all of that stuff? And so I did right down here in my office. My calendar beeped and said batch record content. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay. And I did but I did the thing, like you change your shirt 7 times. So it looks like you're recording it on different days and you do the whole thing. And I recorded 7 videos. I uploaded them, sent them to Steven. And they're going to magically appear on my social media at some point because Steven's going to edit them and make them pretty. So I did not get good at social media. I am a very good delegator. And I tell people this and they're like, I don't understand how that works, but I still only work about 25 hours a week.
Interesting. Good for you.
And so I'm in a really, really stable place health-wise. I haven't had a flare in over a year. So I've been I was a weightlifter and a runner before I got sick. So I've been back in the gym and everything for a while now. But what that means is that every week I have 2 physical therapy appointments, 3 or 4 personal training appointments. I see a myofascial release specialist. I get an infusion that's 7 hours long. Just maintaining my ability to function takes a lot of time. So that requires me to delegate.
There you go.
So if you have questions about delegation, I got you.
I eventually will.
I'm curious about your clients. Like, can you tell us more about like what types of businesses they have and the work they do and the work they do with you?
Yeah. So I have a few nonprofit clients right now. One is a agency that helps parents who are navigating the special ed system in schools with their kids. And they do a lot of advocacy and attending meetings in the schools with the parents. So the parents have some support, but they also do a lot of education on what the actual laws are and what kids should be getting so that parents aren't walking into these meetings and being completely blindsided, which does happen, unfortunately. And I have a nonprofit that I'm working with that is a... Hold on. I'm trying to do this in a non-disclosure safe way. So this nonprofit works with multiracial youth and does sort of affinity groups and that sort of thing. I've worked with a nonprofit. I've worked with a few different food scarcity related nonprofits. So Hartford, Connecticut is a food desert, is no longer going to be a food desert very soon. Thanks to one of my clients, and she's fantastic. And I can talk about her because I've been approved to. And I have a client that runs an LGBTQ shelter for people over age 25 in Atlanta. That one was a lot of fun because, as a member of the LGBTQ community, very near and dear to my heart. But also, I learned a lot. Like, I didn't know that all the shelters that are out there kick people out at 25. So those are a lot of my nonprofit clients. I write for a couple of sex therapists. That's kind of fun.
I was curious about.
So I always, it's so funny with my writers. When I have a new writer coming on, I always have to ask, are you comfortable writing sexual health content? And people sometimes think that I'm talking about like clinical sexual health content, and some of that. But I'm also talking about like how to give the best blowjobs.
Right.
Right. Like, can you write that? Or are you going to blush and panic? Right. That's a lot of fun. I have a few clients that run group mental health practices. So we do a ton of content on that. The nice thing is that because a lot of our web content clients are in similar fields, we just track the keywords and what's performing and what's trending in those fields. And so our clients don't have to tell us what content they need. We already know by the time they get to that point. Mm-hmm. So that's web writing. Books. I do a lot of self-development books, personal development books. I hate the term self-help.
Yeah.
I think if we need help, we should be seeking connection with other humans, not a book. And if we want to develop, then a book could be helpful. So even though the sign at the bookstore says self-help and like all the publishers, like the genre is called self-help, when I speak about it, I'm like personal development. And I've done a lot of memoirs. I like those. My favorite books to write are books that sort of mesh personal development and memoir together.
Mm, yeah.
Those I really enjoy writing. And then I've written some business books, like how to start a business. I've written some marketing books, but all specific to the niches I focus on. And then the other thing we do a lot of are lead generators, lead magnets.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right? Like my lead magnet is your nonfiction book planner. So like I wrote mine, but I write a lot of those for other people as well.
Yeah, those are fun.
They are. I like it a lot because so SEO writing can sometimes feel, especially as a creative person, a little stifling. Because you have to use certain words. You have to structure it a certain way. And then the book writing is very creative, but it's also a long project. Yeah. Right? And I start running out of dopamine sometimes around the third draft. Like I'm not getting a dopamine hit from it anymore. But those short little mini ebooks, they're super creative. There's no search engine optimization needs because they're just like a downloadable PDF that people put on their website or in their email list. I don't know. They're a lot of fun to write. Some of our clients just hire us to do 100% of their content. So the guy that does my social media, he'll take all of the long form content we create and chop it up into little medium form and short form content for people's social media. So we'll do that for people too. So I have some clients who have us write their website content, write all of their blogs, do their lead magnet. And then we do an ongoing blog contract where we also write marketing emails for each blog. So every week they have a blog to post and an email to send out. And then our social media guy chops up all their content into social media every week too. And so they just get this content package.
Yeah.
They don't have to write it themselves. Or plan it themselves because we're doing the SEO tracking.
Yeah, that's huge.
That sounds like a dream to me.
Well, I mean, you are in the wellness industry, Derek. So at some point.
Yeah, at some point. I can't afford you right now. Can't afford myself right now. So I got to get there first. Oh, my God.
When are you going to add like podcast writing to your mix?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so I have a client right now who is a podcast host and we're writing a book that sort of ties into her podcast. And it is making me think like, oh, I could definitely write podcast episodes.
Yeah.
But the other thing I do, because I have the curriculum background, is a lot of our clients who do books with us have me turn their book into a curriculum.
Right.
And so break it down into like what we're teaching this week. What's the learning activity? So on and so forth. And so then they can take that and create their slide deck and create an online course that hits all the objectives in the book and flows nicely and has like the effect of actually working for adult learners.
Yeah.
Important.
I mean, you've kind of touched on this a bit, but if you were to nail down like, obviously, a lot of the people that listen to our podcast are going to be like entrepreneurs and stuff, right? And they like to hear a bit about the reality. So yeah. If you were to like nail down, like, what is the biggest challenge that you've faced since starting your business?
Biggest challenge I've faced is that I friggin' love writing, which is the work I need to do when I'm working in my business, but not necessarily the work I need to do when I'm working on my business and doing that strategic thinking and setting up like marketing plans and what we're doing 6 months, 9 months to a year from now. I love the strategic thinking part of it, right? I do a lot of that when I'm driving or whatever. Finding that balance between the two, working in my business and working on my business, has been the hardest thing for me. And that's what the Blocks coaches actually kind of kicked me in the butt about a lot is, you know, I have this great team set up, but I'm still spending so much time working in the business and neglecting the on the business side. And so that's my biggest challenge. And so I was talking with my mentor recently, and he reminded me, he's like, when we first started talking, remember I said, you know, you have four activities every week. You have personal or professional development, marketing, network building, and writing.
Interesting. Okay.
And so if you're spending more than 25% of your time writing, you're spending time writing for other people, right? Because marketing would be like content creation for my business. It's like, okay, I really have to do a better job of remembering that.
Me too. I'm gonna have you send me those notes later.
So if you think about it, like, so for you, that would be 25% of your time should be making yoga videos.
Yeah.
Or teaching classes.
Uh-huh.
And so when I went back and looked at my calendar, I'm like,
right. Yeah.
Reality check, right?
Uh-huh.
And so since getting back from the blocks, I'm really working on blocking my calendar, which has been difficult because we got back a week ago. I'm leaving for Disney in 2 days. So I had like these 2 weeks that I'm off for a week. And so what it really meant is I'm blocking my calendar in May.
Right.
Yeah. Moving forward, right. But I'm really having to put in blocks of time that's literally says work on the business, marketing, so on and so forth. Because one of the things I was talking to the coaches about is I have this dream in my head of creating an online course that's guiding people through our process for writing a book. Right. There was a New York Times article that came out a couple of years ago that had quoted a survey that said something like 84% of people want to write a book.
Damn, really?
I don't have time to write 84% of the population's books.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. And 84% of the population doesn't have enough money to pay me to write their books.
Correct. Yes.
And so like I was speaking at PodFest in January, and in that room there were all these people who wanted to write a book related to their podcast. And I signed some clients from that room. But all of the clients that were there who couldn't afford to pay to have someone write their book for them would probably have bought an online course.
Right.
Sure.
And the coach at the blocks was like, would you rather have those 100 people pay you $200 for a course, $500 for a course, or would you rather have them pay you no money?
Right.
I'm like,
there you go.
I hear you.
Yep. Well, we're coming up to the hour. And so we always ask if there's anything that we didn't ask you that you wanted to talk about. And it's okay if the answer's no.
I don't think so.
Yeah. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Holly, do you have any lingering questions that you wanted to ask?
I don't think so, but I mean, I guess I am curious just about like, you know, I mean, I know you mentioned the course just now, but like, is there anything else like other goals and stuff that you have for your business?
Oh, that's a good question. So yeah. So right now what I have is a business full of high ticket offers that I sort of created by accident. And it's worked really well. It's been great. It's been a good ride. But I'm really working at sort of filling in my pricing structure. And the reason I want to do that is, you know, when I was really, really sick, one of the only things that would like distract me from the pain I was in, like the physical pain I was in, the emotional pain I was in, psychological pain, all the pain, was reading. And I spent a ton of time lying in my bed reading books. And the people I write for are writing books that help people. And I would like as many of those books to get out there as possible, because like people who like to read, there is a book out there that's changed their world. People who like to listen, there's a podcast or an Audible book that has changed their world. Yeah. And so you never know which book is going to be the book for any given person. So the best we can do is get as many books out there as possible that deserve to be out there, and as many good messages out there as possible. So I want to create avenues for people who are just starting out, who don't have, you know, the revenue to support hiring full-time support for their content. I want them to be able to access enough how-to information to wade through it themselves. Mm-hmm. But the other part of it is I want to create sort of a world of education so that people can make educated decisions when they are hiring someone. Mm-hmm. I have had a lot of heartbreaking stories come into my Zoom room. Or, you know, I've met people in person. I met someone at the Blocks, actually, who hired a ghostwriter to write a book. And they got the book back and it was all technical and there was no personality in it. Mm. Like, and that's heartbreaking because you've taken money that you could have used for any number of things. And you said, this is our priority. This is what we're doing with it. And for a ghostwriter not to deliver on that makes me very angry. So I want my business to create avenues for people to develop thought leadership content on their own if they can't afford to hire someone. And I want them to have enough knowledge so that if they are hiring someone, they make a good decision about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so important because I mean, as someone who made a lot of stupid marketing decisions at the beginning, like, and they're expensive, you know, it's so expensive to like invest in something and there's not a lot of education to figure out like how do we go about navigating making those smart investments, you know? So I love that.
Well, there's not a lot of education. There's also a lot of people out there who are willing to take your money.
Oh yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And return absolute bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been prey of that and I never thought I would have been, you know, but yeah, yeah. I totally got scammed a couple times. Yeah. Yep. That goes back to that capitalist agenda. Yeah. It always comes back to it.
I'm going to take it down one book and nonprofit website at a time.
Beautiful. We're here to support you. So where can the people find you on the interwebs?
So on the interwebs. So we're on Facebook and Instagram, Connected Ghostwriting LLC. Our website is connectedghostwriting.com. It is undergoing some surgery at the moment. So it's going to be down and then back up. And when it comes back up, it's going to be brilliant and beautiful and full of blogs and all sorts of information on how to write a book. But if they go to Connected Ghostwriting, even right now, there is a nonfiction book planner on there. So if you're someone who is interested in writing your own book, or I use these same questions with someone if we're writing their website. So okay. It's called a book planner, but what we're really doing is diving into your personal goals, your business goals, as well as who the hell is your ideal reader, client, person. And we dive into psychographics and really figuring out what they're feeling, what their roadblocks are, and how you help.
Cool.
And so if you're going to be creating content for your business and you want to develop some thought leadership in any of those areas, that's the first step every single time, is thinking about who you're talking to and what do they want and how do you solve their problem. So yeah, that's where we're at.
Cool. Sounds like something I could use help with. That's on my to-do list, is be more consistent with blogging and like thought leadership and, you know, things like that. So I'll probably explore that a little bit myself. Cool.
Good.
Well, it was fun. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yes, thank you.
It was good to talk to you, Holly. It was so good to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
Well, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for telling your story. It was good to see you.
Good to see you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Holly, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at OrangeJulia7. Also on thebitterlemon.com and on Etsy, Bitter Lemon Digital. And Derek, where can people find you?
So I am on Instagram with my personal account at Yoga with Derek, and that's D-E-R-E-K, spelled the correct way. And on Instagram for Yoga for All Humans, it is at Yoga for All Humans on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Don't judge my TikTok game. I'm still learning. On LinkedIn, you can sync up with me, Derek Hagler, on there. And Yoga for All Humans has its own LinkedIn account as well. And of course, yogaforallhumans.com is the studio's website. Small Business Happy Hour has its own Instagram account at Small Business Happy Hour, or you can email us at smallbusinesshappyhour@gmail.com.
Cheers. See you next Tuesday.